Praise the Lord. Well, the teaching that I want to bring tonight is something that I was just doing research on my own. It didn't come as a revelation like I've been bringing. This is just something that I began to ask questions about. I asked myself a question: is there a better life than what I'm living? I ask questions like, what is the very best life that God intended for a human being to have? And is it possible? Then I ask myself a question like, if this is possible, do I really want it? A lot of people don't, I know. A lot of people just soon be miserable because they enjoy being miserable, a lot of people enjoy war, so they have to have a war going all the time. A lot of people enjoy being contentious. In other words, whatever you bring up, they'll bring up the other side, and to them that's living, but to me that's miserable. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, or as the Amplified Bible says, in abundance to the full till it overflows. So my question to me is, am I living this overflowing life? In the Amplified Bible, in Matthew 5 at the Beatitudes, blessed to be envied, spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor. And then it goes on to each one of the Beatitudes. Do I live a life that other people would envy? These are just questions that I brought up, and then I thought, okay, now I'm going to look in the Bible and see if I can find some answers to this, because it's obvious that if God wants us to live that life, He would record it. Mm-hmm. He would put it down and tell us how to get there. So what I put down is kind of a roadmap that I'm using to find that life. I ask myself questions. Jesse and I do this a lot. We'll ask questions. And for instance, I would ask myself, if I could live anywhere in the world, if I had enough money that I could just live on any continent, in any place, would I want a place by the ocean? Would I want a place, up in the mountains? If I could just live any place that I wanted to live, where would I live? I asked myself that question, and I thought, it would be wonderful if I could someday live in the Ozarks. I would just love to live in the Ozarks. And if I was living in the Ozarks, I'd like to live in a condo by a lake. I just think daydreaming, but that would be just a marvelous thing, that's where I live. As we'll find on down here, contentment is one of those things. So what I did, I looked for priorities, because most of what God gives us, He gives us in priorities. And so most of what I've listed here then is priorities that guides us to where we want to go. Do we want a better life? And so He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, of course, the main element of righteousness is meeting the demands of a relationship. Righteousness isn't just getting everything right. Some of the Bibles, they put a little parentheses in it, doing what's right. That won't get it, because we can do what's right in our own eyes and do what's wrong.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so righteousness then is meeting the demands of a relationship. Okay, so I'm related to Jesse, my wife. And so being right with her and doing what is right, giving away from myself for her benefit, then would be righteousness. Being righteous toward my children and my grandchildren. Love your neighbor. Love your enemies. See, we have all these relationships. And so with each one of them then, we have to determine then what we're going to do. And if you really want to live, see, then you have to live this righteous life. Live for others. See? Just kind of want you to get the picture. In fact, I can just jump through a whole bunch of them and then we'll go through them later in Scripture. But such as seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So we think, okay, then contentment, godliness and contentment is greater than having all the money in the world. A lot of people think if they had more money, they'd have more life. Well, look at millionaires and see if they're living. See, how many millionaires would give all of their money just to have the life you and I live? To have a wife that they could love and a wife that would love them. See, I mean, that's just they can't even think of that because. Most of the women that they come in contact with that might want to be their wife is thinking about how rich they could be if they were married to them, you know, and what the prestige would be and all of that. So what, they wouldn't love them. In other words, would they still love them if they didn't have any money? To have people, to have people in our church and people as neighbors that we love and they love us. See, then we're beginning to get what God calls living. See? Okay, Ephesians 3:20. And I use this verse probably every time I teach here. So, but to me, it's like the center of it all. Now to Him who, by and in consequence of the action of His power that is at work within us, is able to carry out His purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. So what can I think up, you know, if I'm daydreaming, what would a really, really, really good life look like? And God says, now just multiply that by 100 and you'll have some idea. And He said, I'm going to do way over and above all you dare ask or think, infinitely beyond your highest prayers, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. 3 John 2 is a priority. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So I understand then that I have to have my soul right, let God adjust it. 23rd Psalm, the Lord restores my soul. Or we can cry out with David in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So we get right with God. Of course, that's also the beginning of righteousness, is getting right with God. Yeah. As we do these things then, we begin to understand what real living is about. We already quoted the Matthew 6:33, but seek aim at and strive after first of all his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given to you. And of course, he'd covered all the things like clothing and food and all that. Said, but you get this part right, and you'll have all of this. Okay. A lot of times, like when I'm teaching on kingdom economy, that I say there is a life level, and we're all at some place on a life level. Okay? For instance, if someone has very little life, and consequently has very little money, and they win the lottery, of course, now they're instantly rich. The only problem is their soul can't maintain it, and all surveys show that within a year, they're either back to the same level or below that level financially. See, I've also known millionaires who got their millions of dollars by doing everything God's way. And God prospered them, and of course they were givers. And they gave, and they gave, and they gave, and God just kept prospering them. And then sometimes something comes along, catastrophic, and they lose all of it. The only problem is their soul level doesn't come back down here. Their soul level stays up here. And usually within a year or two, they're right back up where they were before. And it just all comes right back to them. And so that's what he's talking about. I would that you'd prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So our priority then isn't trying to get more money or be healthy. Our priority is to get our soul right. Once our soul is right, everything else comes into this level, this life level. See? Okay, we also know that life comes by the Word. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeding out of the mouth of God. Of course, this is the Rhema word. And I know sometimes people, they don't understand when I talk about silence and serenity. But there are times when we need to get quiet before God. And in those times, I don't even take my Bible. I don't want to be trying to read my Bible and get so much read as I want to hear from God. Now, God speaks to me many times while I'm reading the Bible, so I don't want to downplay that. I think we ought to spend time every day in the Word. And when I'm reading the Word, life comes to me from the Word. I can physically feel energy and life coming to me from the Word. Okay, so I'm not discounting that at all. I'm just saying there are times that you need to just shut down and listen and let God speak, because that is so life-giving. I have found it absolutely essential. I like to go out on my deck and just sit and just be quiet in God's presence. No music, nothing. Just total quiet, and pretty soon God begins to speak to me. And sometimes I have pencil and paper and write it down. Sometimes I just let it just minister to me. There's times that I don't even want to be distracted by pencil and paper. I just want him to talk to me. And because sometimes all he's trying to do is just nourish your spirit, nourish your soul, renew your mind. And so he'll just speak to you and speak to you. And if we've lived in the Scripture, we can do that. I wouldn't recommend that to anyone who doesn't live in the Scripture, because there's so many voices out there and you'd have no idea what voice was talking to you. But if you live in the Word of God, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. See, And so I don't worry about these other voices. I know when I hear a voice, it's my shepherd's voice. And of course, you can always tell the love that comes and the inspiration and all that. If it's building you up, it's the wrong voice. If it's magnifying God, it's the right voice. Okay, or if it's leading you in God's purpose, or somehow fulfilling God's purpose. John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. So they are life-giving. The centurion said, just speak the word and my servant will be healed. That's life-giving. A lot of times people are maybe confused. They read the story of the woman that touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And, of course, I think, King James Bible, and virtue, he said, I felt virtue go out of me. And so people are, what is this virtue? Is that oozy stuff? Or, what is virtue? Well, if you look it up, the Greek word is life essence. So it was actually life essence, and Jesus felt it go out of him. When I'm ministering and I lay hands on people, I can feel life essence going out of me. They can feel it going into them. And so, but it's life. It's the same life that I receive by reading the Word or being in God's presence and God speaking to me. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and powerful. In other words, it's life-giving. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's one reason why we need to get quiet before God. And let him fill us with words of life. Because it clarifies everything. It pulls apart. We have so many of our own thoughts. There's so many thoughts that are coming from other people. There's satanic influence. There's all kind of waves, television, radio, all kind of things that's going, that's all around us, it's surrounding us. But we get quiet before God, and all of a sudden, all of that, the me goes out and the he comes in. Because we get things confused, see. In Christianity, we get to the place that we think God is here for us. And that's not true. That we're here for God. We're here for his pleasure. We were created for his pleasure. Yes, we do reap tremendous benefits from it. But if you start seeking benefits, that's why we need the discernment. We need to find out the truth about why we're here. Otherwise, we won't lay down our life when it comes time, because we'll say, no, it's me. I have a right to my life. And in reality, we don't. It's like people come to me all the time. They say, well, Wayne, we've been discussing this, and what is your opinion? I said, no need to ask me. I don't even have an opinion, and I don't even have a right to an opinion. It's either as God spoke it in his word or as he reveals it by his spirit. I do not have a separate opinion from the word of God. And I'll say, well, the Bible says, well, can't you tell us something else? No, I don't know anything else. I'm saturated with the Word of God. And so my life and being able then to live the very best life possible is by living in the Word and allowing the words to live in me If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will, and it shall be done. Okay, a spirit, Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Not only do we need to find the very best life possible, we need to eliminate death. But you eliminate death by coming into the Spirit of life. So you don't have to do two things. See, the flesh is lusting against the Spirit against the flesh, so that we cannot do what we want to do. Paul says, what's the answer? Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Will not, will not, will not, will not, will not. You won't. See? So we don't have to think in two terms. We have to, over here do this, but over here we have to do this. The one answer is for both. Romans 7, the whole thing there is, Paul said, the thing I want to do, I don't do. The thing I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. And most people just leave it there. That's not the end of the chapter. He concludes it by saying, who will deliver me? Thank God through Jesus Christ. In other words, there is an answer. It's not a continuous dilemma. It was only a dilemma before we found the answer. So real living, then, is not this struggle of Romans chapter 7. It is the end of chapter 7. Thank God through Jesus Christ. See, get your priorities right, and all of a sudden this life, the very essence of life. I don't know about you, but I can actually feel life essence. I can feel it coming in, and I can feel it going out. And I know, for instance, if I get busy doing things, and all of a sudden I'm just getting weak, and I can't really think straight, and it's like, oh my, I need more Wheaties. Maybe I need a Pepsi or a Gatorade or something. No, that's not what I need. I go to the Word of God. I pray in tongues. I read. I pray in tongues, and I read the Scripture. I pray in tongues, and I read. And then I get silent before God, and I let Him talk to me. And before long, I can actually feel life coming into me. Can you imagine how they felt after Jesus' resurrection? All that they'd been through and everything. And then He comes in and says, and He breathed on them and said, receive the Spirit. Receive the Spirit. And so they received the Spirit of life. That was actually their born-again experience. John 7, 38 and 39. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. The overflow is the Spirit. So, that's how, in the Amplified Bible, in John 10:10, in abundance to the full till it overflows. See, enough for you, but enough for all of your neighbors, your friends, relatives. You have enough for everyone. You have enough for your church. You have enough for everyone. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So you wonder sometimes why you come across Christians, and they can quote scripture, they can tell you how you're wrong about everything, and yet, you know, they look like they ate prunes for breakfast or something. You know, and you say, well, I don't envy them. I wouldn't want that life. You know, they say they're Christians, but they're miserable.
Yeah.
You know, if all the Bible tells you is you're right and everyone else is wrong, you're in really, really bad shape.
Yes, that's right.
See? And so the letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. And so as the Spirit comes in, then all we want to do is we want to edify others. We want to make others look good, not run them down so we look good.
Mm-hmm.
See, and so all the more I'm filled up with life, as John the Baptist said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Mm-hmm. That's what life does for me. Mm-hmm. The more I'm coming into his life, then the less I want to be visible. I want to be invisible. First Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And so by the Spirit then, as we're in the Spirit, we become aware of what all is ours, this inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. And all of a sudden, we realize everything we'll ever need, we have in him. See, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I think I've taught you on that. But the word by there in the Greek means down through. So it's what the Father is giving to Jesus that you and I get. See, so we're... we don't have to determine what that is. All we have to do is be in Jesus, and as God is pouring down through Jesus, we get all the same benefits that he gets. And by the way, we get all the same power and authority he gets also. Romans 8:10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And now, see, this whole Spirit of life begins to flow into us. Okay, love is, on your next page, is a top priority. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Love your neighbors yourself. Now, of course, that is the essential elements of the Ten Commandments. You know, in the Ten Commandments, it kind of spells it all out, but that's the essence of it. And so, if we're going to, he said, if you keep my commandments, I will come and manifest myself to you. There's nothing more life-giving than for Jesus to manifest himself. You know, and I know he's always present. But those days when I'm in my office and sometimes with someone else, sometimes by myself, and Jesus shows up, I mean, you know he is there. You know, wow. You know, those kind of manifestations, that'll wake you up. And that'll get your whole being going. It makes you alive. Okay, Ephesians 3, verses 17 through 19. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, that is God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of it? that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. That's living. That's living. No religion there. That's nothing about religion. See, that's about a personal experience. It's not just a one-time experience. Now, we can experience this love over and over and over and over. And every time we do, it brings that richest measure of the divine presence. Okay. I know there's more. I know there's more than what I have. Now, sometimes we talk to people about the baptism and the Holy Spirit, and they have the idea like, well, you think you have it all. You know, I tell them, hey, I'm nowhere near. I'm just in kindergarten. You know, there is so much more. I know there's more. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask Him? Even after you've been baptized, been born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and moving in the gifts of the Spirit, there's still more. But you'll never get more than love. Because love is the essential element of it all. Okay? To be loved and to be able to love is the ultimate of living. That's it. That's as high as you can go. Okay? Because God is love, and none of us are going to surpass God. Okay? And so... learning then to walk in love. Learning to, every time God pricks your heart about someone, whether it's to make a phone call or email them on the computer or write them a letter or go see them or whatever it is, just go. And that compassion pulls us. Love will direct us. But faith works by love. So if you try to get faith to work without love, it won't. Peter said, you show me your faith without your works, I'll show you my faith by my works. And our work is to love. To go, to be there, to do whatever needs to be done, whatever God is doing. See, but if we're really living and we have these things divided out for us, we'll know that whether it's just something we want to do or if it's something God wants us to do. Okay. That's the reason why most people hesitate. Well, is this just me or is this God? Mm-hmm. You know, and we need to have that divided out. You know, but that's the beauty of being full of life, is that it divides out real simply. And if you try to go the other way, you'll lose peace instantly. And the scripture says, let peace be your umpire. If you start to do something because you want to do it, your peace will go away. And you'll know instantly that was a wrong move. Okay, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us. And then he shows us the priority, and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Do people feel that fragrance of Christ when you get near them? You know, do they want you to come back? That's how I kind of figured it out. If they didn't want me to come back, I think I had a wrong odor. Not an aroma, I had an odor. You know, what I used to think was Christianity actually stank. But people could tell it, but no one would tell me. You know, it's like if you had bad breath, people would tell you. You know, we need to have this sweet smelling aroma, and that's what I'm sensing now everywhere I go. And I can be out among worldly people, or I can be among Christians. And they all are sensing this wonderful, sweet-smelling aroma of Christ. And it's real interesting because the worldly people are more attracted to it sometimes than the Christians are. Sometimes the Christians are even repulsed by it. Okay, another priority, contentment. I mentioned it earlier. 1 Timothy 6:6, now godliness with contentment is great gain. So right there, Paul sets it as a priority. There's something better than. See? So what was he talking about? He was talking about the rich people who had put their trust in their riches. See? And he said, there are those who that believe that godliness is a means to great gain. In other words, they're going to use what they're kind of like the magician in Samaria. He wanted to buy the Holy Spirit so he could go around putting it on people. Well, he was used to making money by his ministry, even though he was serving the devil, you know. And now he just wanted to change it over. And now he wanted to serve God and make money, see, and so they said, no, godliness with contentment is great gain. Mm-hmm. And so, if that's the case, then I would say contentment would be something that I would really want to pursue. Yeah, to be content with the things I have. So that's your Hebrews 5. I'll go ahead and jump down. I put them in both New King James and Amplified. Let me jump down to the Amplified one. Let your character and moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. In the New King James there, be content with such things as you have. So, he's saying, and the reason why we can afford to be content, because now we have learned that God is meeting all of our needs. See? And so, it was years and years and years ago that I learned that I am not my responsibility. See? I used to think, I am responsible for me, and I have to do this and this and this in order to gain what I'm supposed to have. And if I say all the right verses of Scripture and, you know, kind of get everything lined up right, then God is obligated to help me out. And that's not the way it works. And of course, the thing that broke me out of it, because I was... at the time, I know I've shared this with you before, but I was driving down the road quoting, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. My God shall supply all my needs, you know. And I was getting louder and you know, just really trying to put the emphasis on it. And God spoke to me and he said, shut up. He said, all you're doing is displaying your unbelief. And I said, okay, what do I need then? And the Holy Spirit just came upon me And out of my belly came Abba, Father. And from then on, I knew I have a loving Father who's going to take care of me. He will never fail me. He'll never let me down. He'll never leave me without support. And He hasn't, not for one single moment. And that's been 40 years ago. So many people in the world now have no hope. They listen to the news. They see what's going on around them. And they just totally lose hope. Well, hope, Bible hope, the God hope, is a joyful, confident expectation. There's a forlorn hope that says, well, I hope so. I kind of believe, and I hope God will do, that's based on unbelief. But God's hope is a joyful, confident expectation. And so every morning I wake up with a joyful, confident expectation. I wake up with a hope. And as we have learned, that hope is one of the three eternal elements. Faith, hope, and love, these abide forever. So forever and ever there will be love. That is, we will be giving ourselves for the benefit of God and others forever and ever and ever and ever. We'll be living for others. Faith, because God will always be speaking. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So we will be hearing and obeying forever. We're not going to be sitting in rocking chairs with golden harps or even dancing with our harp or putting on our shoes and what it's all in that song. Put on my golden crown. But there will always be faith. There'll always be hope. There'll always be something in front of us. Something just beyond us that we're moving toward. A billion, billion, billion years from now, there'll be still something that will excite us, that we'll be looking forward to every moment. Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. A lot of people are looking forward to their earthly inheritance. I already have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. The thing is, I haven't found out what all is in the will. It's all written in the Bible. I just haven't got to all of it yet. Because that is His will and testament. Mm-hmm. So it's all there. And I haven't acquired it all yet. But that's the fun. You know, if you woke up on your first birthday, you're 1 year old, and they said, here's all the gifts that you're going to get throughout your life, and they dumped them at your feet, I don't think so. I think I like mine to come. This, I discover something new, and here it comes. I discover something new. But we don't know what all is ours in Christ. That's true. We don't know even the power and the authority that we have. We don't know how God will use us to the fullest extent yet. All these things excite me. Because, see, that's, to me, that's living. Okay? And we won't be able to cover all these tonight if you're looking at these pages and saying, how are we going to get through all this? But just think of the priorities. For instance, it is better to give than to receive. So that's a priority. See? And even the movie stars, here they are, celebrities, and people just ooh and ah over them if they show up at their town or whatever. They have all this money and five or six wives that they've gone through, or husbands that they've gone through, and you know, all of these things, and all of a sudden, you know, someone says, you know, how about going and serving in a food line? You know, why don't you go down to the poverty area? They have a soup kitchen down there, and they go and do that, and they, oh, we never knew life could be so wonderful. See, because they started serving, because they started giving. See, so he who would be greatest among you, let him be servant of all. Priority.
Yeah.
See, he who would be greatest among you, let him be servant of all. It's better to give than to receive. And then humility, to learn to walk in humility. Pride will rob you of life. It'll drain life all out of you. And it'll make you have a bad odor. And people will get away from you as fast as they can. But if you walk in humility, and you people sense that you're there for their good and not for your own good. That's the way Jesus did. He gave himself. He humbled himself. Became a servant. Okay. And so truth and giving, they're all listed here. We don't have time to cover them all tonight. But and you might want to go on as usually. This thing got away from me. I'm nowhere near finished with my part of it. It's just that I cut it off to bring it with me and send it to Janie real quick. But I'm not through yet. There's priorities I haven't discovered. I happen to want the very best life a human being can live. I can't go back to the Garden of Eden. But I think I can find the same life Jesus had. I think I can live the same life that Jesus lived. I think it's all in the Word of God and in the Spirit of God and in the character and nature of God. And so I want to know those priorities. So I'll still be searching probably for weeks, maybe the rest of my life. But I want the very best life a human being can live. I believe it's available to us. Amen?
Yes.